This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Three letters, so many questions. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. There's been no break in the uproar over the bonuses paid by AIG. This morning, the CEO of the bailed-out insurance giant will answer to a House Financial Services subcommittee. Tamara Keith has more.
Everyone may be fuming over the $165 million in bonuses, but Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman says that's pocket change compared to the $170 billion AIG has gotten in government aid.
Million-dollar bonuses to the guys who built the AIG casino? People understand that. But what they ought to understand is it's not just the portion of the iceberg that they can see that's wrong.
For instance, a lot of AIG's bailout money is going to pay off banks and institutions that made risky gambles on mortgage-backed securities. Republican Congressman Jeb Hensarling suggests continuing to support AIG is just throwing good money after bad.
There comes a time when we need to be laying the foundation for the financial institutions of tomorrow and not trying to keep alive the financial institutions of the past.
And he won't be the only one at the hearing asking why taxpayers are keeping AIG on life support. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Wall Street is 5 for 6. The Dow closed up 179 points yesterday to 7396, a gain of nearly 2.5%. The Nasdaq jumped more than 4%, a gain of more than 3% for the S&P 500. It's a mix right now in Europe, and major markets in Asia were higher today. In the deal book this morning, it looks like IBM has its eye on Sun Microsystems. The Wall Street Journal says Sun may be picked up for around $6.5 billion. That would be a 100% premium over Sun's closing price yesterday of just under $5 a share. At the same time, word of another deal that's come undone. China spilled Coca-Cola today in court. Coke had planned on buying the country's main juice maker in a deal worth $2.4 billion. It would have been China's biggest foreign acquisition ever. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us now from Shanghai. Scott, why did China say no to Coke in the end?
The regulators said it would hurt competition in the juice market, which Coke has a giant presence in. When you walk into a 7-Eleven kind of store in China, and they're everywhere, you see a lot of Minute Maid juice products, which is part of Coca-Cola, and then you see a lot of the Chinese brand Huiyuan, and that's the company that Coca-Cola wanted to acquire. Now, regulators applied the same kinds of tests that American antitrust regulators would apply and said if that deal had happened, it would restrict choices, raise prices, and squeeze out some smaller brands. Not sure regulators intended to make that juice pun, but Renita, there you go.
I was just going to ask. Well, so was this a surprise?
Not a giant surprise to people paying close attention to this. This deal is not a popular one in China, so there was political pressure. And China's trying to build its own national champion corporate brands to eventually go global. And during this world recession, they think this is a good time to catch up to the rest of the world. So the question is always, is China the only country doing this? And the answer is obviously no. We remember in the U.S. when a Dubai company wanted to acquire U.S. port terminals, there was a hue and cry in Washington. And the fear is that if you look across the world, this is another brick going up in the wall of protectionism around the world. And the Council of Foreign Relations says right now there is a protectionist drift in this part of global trade and commerce.
All right, Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
American Idol announces its final 10 tonight. Those 10 go on tour with the show for a year. A thumbs up from Simon Cowell isn't the only way to launch a career in pop music. Time to register for American Pop 101. Marketplace's Eve Tro explains.
Ah, the Supremes' Baby Love. Baby love, my baby. The man who wrote that and 53 more number one hits is Lamont Dozier, a Motown legend. So what was his training?
Oh, God, none at all. No classical training. I've been self-taught.
Dozier took lessons in the school of life. He eavesdropped at his grandma's beauty shop.
And I hear one of the girls, and she's heartbroken about some guy come to find out he was a cad. I would write down these little ideas. And they're true-to-life stories.
Pay attention. That's advice Professor Lamont Dozier might give a songwriting class this fall at the University of Southern California. It's the first university to offer a bachelor's degree in popular music performance.
Many schools have played around with this, but been afraid to really call it what it is, American popular music.
That's Robert Cudieta, dean of USC's Thornton School of Music. He says it's time pop joined the canon. It's a big part of music and the music market. After all, there's not much demand for a concert bassoonist.
You'd be better off running for the U.S. Senate, because at least there's 100 of those jobs.
And students, spending more than $30,000 a year for tuition, can study the music that interests them.
We can approach it with the same discipline, the same rigor, as somebody studying a classical instrument.
That's USC Associate Dean Chris Sampson. His BA is in classical guitar, but he's really a rock drummer. The 20 students in the pop program Sampson helped design will study music, but they'll also learn to book tours, read contracts, and market their work.
That's the nature of the profession. It's fundamentally entrepreneurial.
17-year-old James Gallup auditioned for USC this year. Little world slipped through my hand. He's an ambitious singer-songwriter, but wants more options than music.
At a school like this, you can get all of your academic needs as well as your musical needs.
If he doesn't get into the popular music program, Gallup says he'll study English. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Sing your praises or critical feedback at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.